The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome in to what is an extremely busy edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop here in the studio. A little later on in the programme, Sid Lowe will be here to reflect on Real Madrid's victory against Granada and what that means for their title aspirations. Also, Jürgen Klinsmann here to review Borussia Dortmund beating Leipzig in the German Cup final. We'll start, though, in England. What a game it was at Old Trafford. In the end, Liverpool beating Manchester United by 4-2. Meaning Liverpool are just 4 points now adrift of Chelsea in fourth, and Jurgen Klopp's side do have a game in hand. Well, for more on that, let's welcome in, shall we, Stevie Nicol and very headmasterish almost, principal vibe that Ian Dark has today. Stephen, I spoke to you during this game. There was a lot of bad language, but in the end, it all worked out.
Yes. Listen, for 30 minutes, I was thinking, when are Liverpool going to wake up here? Because Manchester United were in complete and utter control. And then just a little bit of luck, you know, Phillips winning a second ball and Jogo with a nice little flick through his legs, and the game completely turned on its head. For the next half hour, Liverpool were in complete control. And I'm watching the game and I'm thinking to myself, is this unusual, or do Manchester United miss Harry Maguire this much? Because going forward, Liverpool looked really dangerous every time they got at that back four. And they scored four. They probably could have scored six. And it's not something Liverpool have done very often this season, score four goals in a game. So listen, everyone's pointing towards winning the remaining games. They've just got to hope that somebody else makes a mess of it as well.
Stevie, was it just a case that Liverpool wanted this more? Of course, for United, they didn't have that much to play for.
I don't think so. I don't think when you play in a Manchester United-Liverpool game that somebody really wants it more than the others. I mean, you look at the first half hour I was talking about, and United were in total control, and then they got sloppy. You know, the first three goals they lost, really, in my opinion, was down to them. The first is a second ball that they're all sleeping on. Phillips gets it and Jota puts it in. The second one's horrible defending. Pogba goes to sleep and it's a good header. And then the third one, the sloppy passing the ball out from the back. So, you know, Manchester United really, in some ways, were the architects of their own downfall. But they did get caught up as well, apart from that Liverpool never took chances. So, listen, for Liverpool, it's a fantastic day. But for Man United, I think Ollie's going to be scratching his head and hoping that the things he saw today are a one-off. Because if they continue to do what they did today between now and the end of the season, it's going to be a horrible finish for them.
Is it a one-off, Ian?
You better hope so, because they've got the Europa League final coming up, and Stevie touched on it there. They looked a mess without Harry Maguire at the back. He has his critics, of course, but maybe you saw how good he is, because they fell apart, really, without him there. OK, big picture, Manchester United are going to finish above Liverpool this season. That's set in stone. They are going to finish in the top four. But Liverpool, they look like them old selves going forward tonight. If they win their remaining games, they will be in the top four. And a few weeks ago, we were thinking they might end up in the European Conference League by finish seventh. So it's something of a revival. It was a good night for them. But I would be worried if I was Manchester United, because if they go into that Europa final without Harry Maguire, and we saw him tonight on crutches, we saw Bailly, who wasn't very good anyway, go off. Are they going to have to play with McTominay at the back against Villarreal in that final? It starts to look a bit that way for them. They won't want to stumble across the line after the season that they've had.
As Ian rightly says, United are fine. They will qualify for the Champions League. Who will join them According to the bookies, it's tight, isn't it, between Leicester, Chelsea and Liverpool. As it stands, though, Chelsea and Leicester remain the favourites to advance to the Champions League next season. That Chelsea-Leicester game next Tuesday, Ian, is going to be fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, that starts to look like a decider because they meet in the FA Cup final on Saturday. Then they meet next Tuesday. They both can't win it, which is going to open the door for Liverpool, whose running looks quite good.
Yeah.
They've got Burnley away and West Bromwich Albion away and then Crystal Palace at home on the final day. You back them in their present form to get 9 points out of nine. That's going to guarantee them the place. So Chelsea at home to Leicester next Tuesday. Well, fancy their chances, but Leicester could miss out again right at the last moment as they did last year.
Stevie, you've been Mr. Negative Pants when it comes to Liverpool and their qualification for the Champions League over the last few weeks.
Yep.
Are you starting to change your mind?
I'm starting to think it's possible. Listen, I don't think we should forget. You know, today was a perfect example of what Liverpool's wins, shall we say, have been this season. You know, on paper, 4-2, away from home, looks good, had a couple of other chances. But the truth is, they could have lost four as well. Or maybe even five. You know, just you know, an own goal. They could have lost a goal after a couple of minutes with the goalkeeper, with an incredible mistake that Cavani couldn't pounce on. A couple of chances missed. Rashford missed one at the end. They did score two. I mean, yes, I think they could do it, but I can't honestly say I'm kind of 50-50 whether they'll win the remaining games just because of what goes on defensively. And if they go back to what they've been doing, missing chances, then it's not going to be easy. I think this is 50-50 for Liverpool, to be honest.
Stevie taking us all around the houses, Shaka, to completely sit on the fence at the end of it.
Listen, I understand fully. It's a tough call.
Well, because I didn't say yes, they will, did I?
Well, no, you said 50-50 after a very long-winded chances, defence, explanation.
I understand why he's saying that, because the Liverpool we've seen so far, I'm not sure that...
Who's finishing top four, Shaq?
I'm going to go Liverpool. I think Liverpool, as much doubt as they put in my head, still go on and win all three games. And keeping in mind that the goal difference between them and Leicester is just one. Leicester just one better. I think that plays into their hands. If I had to put a bet on it right now, I go Liverpool, Chelsea finish top four, Leicester finish fifth.
A lot more from these gentlemen available on Extra Time today as they join me to answer your tweets. As always, you can check that out over on our YouTube channel. Big win for Real Madrid, beating Granada by 4-1, meaning there is still very much a title race in Spain. Just a reminder, with Atleti winning on Wednesday, it is still 2 points that separate Real Madrid and their city rivals at the top of the table with 2 matches remaining. Well, for more on this, let's welcome Sid Lowe into the show. Sid, still just about La Liga.
Oh, it definitely is. And bear in mind as well that although it's a 2-point lead, it might as well be a 1-point lead because Real Madrid have a head-to-head advantage over Atletico Madrid. So if they were to finish level on points, Real Madrid would win the league, not Atletico. Now, of course, what that means in practical terms is that if Real Madrid win their final two games, they don't need Atletico Madrid to lose to be champions. They only need Atletico Madrid to fail to win once. A draw and a victory for Atletico Madrid and 2 wins for Real Madrid would be sufficient for Madrid to win the league. That, of course, leads just to looking at the games that are left. Real Madrid go away to Athletic Club and they play against Villarreal. Now, they play against Villarreal just before the Europa League final. I think we can safely assume they'll be playing against Villarreal's B team at the very, very best. And so that obviously gives them an advantage. Atletico Madrid play against Osasuna and Valladolid. Osasuna at home, Valladolid away. Valladolid, I was there this evening watching them play. They've been beaten 2-0. They're fighting for their lives. They could well be fighting for their lives on that final day, which, of course, in theory at least, would make them more dangerous. So I think it's absolutely right to say that the league title race is still on.
And I'm absolutely right to say Barca are out of it.
Yeah, I think so. Because you look at the size of the gap, but not only that, it's two teams they have to overcome. If you looked at it and thought, well, you know, they need to catch one team and they need results to fall their way, fine. But they need results to fall their way both in the case of Real Madrid and in the case of Atletico Madrid. So I think it's done. Quite apart from the fact that, if anything, we've seen over the last 4 or 5 weeks, it's that they can't be trusted. Barcelona, when they've had the opportunities, they haven't taken them. I was in Valencia the other night to watch them, and they seemed comfortable. They played very well in the first half, and they threw it away. And that's just been the case with Barcelona for the last 2 or 3 weeks.
And it's interesting, Real Madrid's month, Sid, considering the performance that they put in or didn't put in against Chelsea in the Champions League, that they still manage to put these sort of performances together to keep them in the title hunt.
I think one of the interesting things about Real Madrid tonight, if you look at the team, is how young it is. And I think, look, there are many reasons why Chelsea defeated them and also why Chelsea defeated them so comfortably. But I think one of those reasons, of course, was players who weren't fit. There's no doubt at all that when they played against Chelsea, Sergio Ramos wasn't fully fit, Mendy wasn't fit, Hazard wasn't fit. Those three players should not have played. And none of those three players played tonight. And I think that makes a very significant difference. He went for two very young players in the two fullbacks, both Marvin and Miguel Gutierrez. It was, a quicker, a more dynamic team. It felt like a message as well. And I think, you know, there's also another reality, which is that however many injury problems they've had, Real Madrid, and they've had more than anyone else in La Liga this year, if you add injury and corona cases together, they still have an enormous squad. They still have the capacity to put out a team full of very, very good players, very, very expensive players, and players with a huge amount of talent. And in particular, of course, this season, what we've seen with Real Madrid is that the middle three has been pretty consistent in terms of how they've played, albeit it's true that they've really pushed in terms of the minutes, Modric, Kroos and Casemiro. And then, of course, they've got possibly the best goalkeeper in La Liga and possibly the best striker in La Liga with Karim Benzema.
Thanks, Sid, for a lot more on La Liga, and in particular, what are these two up to? Barcelona, be sure to download the latest edition of the Gavin Jules podcast. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Borussia Dortmund were crowned German Cup champions on Thursday after thrashing Leipzig by 4-1. The game was really over in the first half. Jadon Sancho opened the scoring early on, then a brilliant goal from Erling Haaland where he just tore Upamecano apart to make it 2. Jadon Sancho getting his second and Dortmund's third at the break. Leipzig would get one back. Lovely finish from Dani Olmo in the second half. But Haaland on the counter-attack would get his second as Borussia Dortmund would win by 4-1. Well, confirmation then. This is their fifth title, still 15 adrift of Bayern Munich as we welcome in Jurgen Klinsmann to the show. Jurgen, a great game.
Yeah, I think a fantastic game. A very, very entertaining. 5 goals. I think a wonderful performance by Borussia Dortmund. First half, they played outstanding football. Beautiful goals. Second half, RB Leipzig had some opportunities. Didn't use them. They were missing a clear killer up front. And then Borussia Dortmund finished off at the end with a fourth goal. Overall, impressive performance by Borussia Dortmund. Very well deserved. It means the world to them, you know, to win this competition, to win that trophy. It is very, very prestigious in Germany to win the German Cup. So there will be thousands of fans tonight in Dortmund celebrating. Obviously, they still have 2 games to go in the Bundesliga. They're still in the race for the Champions League spot, so they cannot party too much. But I really want to congratulate them, the team, the coach, you know, Edin Terzic, who has who went through a lot of emotional kind of roller coasters the last couple of months because they appointed another coach for next season. He's supposed to be his assistant coach. I don't know if this is going to work out. I doubt it because he won now a very prestigious trophy himself. But definitely Dortmund will be on fire tonight and then they go back to the Bundesliga on Sunday.
Jürgen, just talk us through Erling Haaland's first goal and how impressive it is.
It was just really special. It was outstanding. You know, how he got Upamecano off balance, you know, how he waited for the open slot. He knew exactly what he was doing. He had the patience when the moment was there to kind of slide it then through Upamecano and the goalkeeper. He did that calmly. That shows his class. You know, we often talk about Erling Haaland and he looks a little bit clumsy. He looks a little bit kind of, okay, not the best of coordinated player, but he actually is. You know, he knew exactly what he was doing. He prepared this goal himself to finish it off then himself. And that's what great strikers are doing. They're not only just finishing the assists from the other players, they also create themselves the opportunity. And in that goal, he really created himself that little tiny slot to put it in the back of the net.
What do you like about Jadon Sancho, Jürgen?
Well, Jadon Sancho, since a couple of months, obviously, is back to his form the way he was before. I mean, he was obviously very young still. But he has so much potential. I mean, he has the speed, he has the technique, he's calm in front of goal. He had a bit of problems before, at the end of last year, before Christmas, when a lot of speculations were out there about his future. I think since 3 months, he's basically back to his normal. You can see him relaxed. He seems to have a very good relationship with Edin Terzic, the coach. So he's playing his game, he's enjoying his game. But the way he finishes off opportunities is very, very impressive. You know, he's calm. It's just the way he executed the second goal, just kind of just waiting what the defender was doing and kind of cut it inside again and then finishing off the opportunity. It shows his class. You know, and when you have that already at such a very early age, then I think we can look forward to many more of those brilliant moments from Jadon Sancho in the future time.
And he's English, Jürgen. Take that. Yes. Jürgen Klinsmann, thank you very much.
That's the only problem.
As Jürgen mentioned, of course, for Borussia Dortmund, they can't party too hard because they still need to clinch a place in the Champions League next this season. They'll go a long way to doing that if they get all 3 points in their clash with Mainz on Sunday. That game, of course, followed by that huge match as well between Leipzig and Wolfsburg.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Just a reminder, you can check out all of our video content over on our YouTube page. Be sure to subscribe to ESPN FC. Stevie's back with us, as is Ian. Ian not wearing a tie. You'll find out why he has made that change over on Extra Time. You can also check that out on YouTube. But the reason everyone's back, and look at the excitement on Stevie's face, it is Shaka's Power Rankings.
Yes, it is. And look who's back. Bayern Munich, atop. After City Blues, but they win the league. Inter crown champions years ago. Lille still winning and putting distance between themselves and PSG.
Yes.
Sporting go the full season in Portugal without losing a game. They're crown champions this week as well.
Yes.
Chelsea, well, they beat City, but then they're going to lose. But they're in a couple of finals to come, so they're still there. Dortmund lift their first trophy this season, and they enter the top four.
Right.
Atleti still top in Spain. Rangers, because we've got a Scotsman on, and they won in Scotland.
Right.
And Ajax, because...
How can you have Ajax below Rangers?
It was just a toss of the dice, really.
Toss of the dice?
Yeah.
This is how it works.
Well, I felt they were very even.
Really?
You don't toss a dice.
Yeah.
You roll a dice.
Yeah, don't you roll a dice?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You toss a coin. That's right.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Right. Ian, I'm going to go to you first because I feel that you may have paid even the slightest bit of attention to that.
Go to Ian first. He's sensible.
The world awaits every week for these rankings from Xhaka, and I know how much thought goes into them. I think it's great. It's good to see Lille there. Wouldn't that be fantastic if they won the title in France and it's not the same old Paris Saint-Germain story? Nothing against Paris Saint-Germain. Italy too. It's Juventus every year. I think it's great that Inter have made a bit of a comeback. So I'm glad Xhaka's got them way up there. Aww. And he loves Rangers, doesn't he, too?
Okay, Ian being nice to Xhaka. Stevie, be less nice to Xhaka.
He's a sensible one in this group.
Stevie. Oh, thank you. Just give him, mate. He doesn't know what he's talking about. How about Bayern? How about Bayern at the top? He lets Chelsea off with losing a game, but they're in a final.
Mm. Well, they're in two finals.
I say lost a game.
They're in two finals,
Stevie.
They're
in a final as well. Yeah. And they won the Premier League this week. So why wouldn't they be top?
What? Who did what?
City won the Premier League this week.
Why would Man City not be top?
Because they lost on the weekend.
They lost on the weekend. And the last, what, 3 days, they've won the Premier League title, and then in a week's time, they're in the Champions League final. But you've got Bayern at the top of the heap. Really?
Bayern won to lift their title. City lost.
Who did they beat? United lost.
So I put Bayern top.
Who did Bayern beat?
Borussia Mönchengladbach.
By a lot.
6-0. Xhaka, how long did this take you?
Huh?
How long did this take you?
Well, I sent it out to Google to have them do the data.
Xhaka, you forgot, and I saw you do it in 2 minutes.
What?
Just before this segment. That pretty much sums it all up.
That is just unheard of.
ESPN FC is back on your screen.
That's the truth.
Looking ahead to the FA Cup final between Leicester, who aren't in Xhaka's power rankings, and Chelsea, who are.
Well, I'll have to.
Oh, we got through that again. Let's head back to Berlin for more pictures of Borussia Dortmund celebrating that German Cup victory after beating Leipzig by 4-1. Jadon Sancho, of course, with a brace, and he caught up with Arthur Rintat after the game.
I'm here with one of Borussia Dortmund's goal heroes today, Jadon Sancho. Jadon, how does that feel, first of all?
Words can't even describe this feeling. It's been a long time coming for us as a team. You know, this game was really important to us. We knew that today that if we gave it our all, we'll get the victory that we wanted. And this is for the fans. And I'm just so happy to contribute to this game because it's such a special feeling and a special moment for all of us.
2 goals against RB Leipzig on Saturday, another 2 today. You make it look pretty easy.
Yeah, it should have been 3. at the end, I don't know what I was doing. I should have just shot, but again, I'm just, you know, hopefully next time if I'm in that situation, I'll just put it away. But, you know, again, happy to get the 2 goals and assist Erling at the end to seal the game. And, you know, I'm very happy with this team. And I'm just so happy.
I can see it.
Yeah.
Talk me through the feelings that you were going through when you curled that first one in.
Yeah, I was surprised that the defender didn't come close to me. I saw the gap in between the right back and the centre back, and you know, I'm confident in myself in shooting in these type of situations. I've scored many goals in my youth like this, and you know, I saw the opportunity and I just curled it in, and I was very confident when I shot.
How much does this mean to you personally after the journey that you've been on this season? You weren't in the best form that you've been in at Borussia Dortmund to begin the season with, but you've come into such a flow in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I know. First half of the season was a bit difficult for me, but you know, I stayed focused and you know, I kept on working hard on the training pitch, and luckily we have a great coaching staff and that believed in me, and they knew that I would bounce back, and I'm happy I did, and especially for the team because they needed me in the second half of the season, especially when Erling was out. You know, it's a bit difficult to score goals when our top goal scorer is out, and you know, I'm happy to step up today and score the goals, and you know, the team have done fantastic today, and you know, today it's for the fans, and I'm sure they're happy with us.
Just finally, how do you celebrate tonight?
How do you celebrate? Wow. Well, the job is still not finished. You know, our goal is still to finish top 4, qualify for Champions League. But I'm sure tonight that it'll be a special moment for all of us. I'm sure we're going to go in the change room and listen to some music and, you know, just have a good time and just enjoy this moment.
Archie Rintat joins us now. Archie, what sometimes we forget, don't we, and I think sometimes strikes us what's been happening over the last year, is that without a crowd, sometimes that can dilute the success. And it's only really when you see interviews like that and Jadon Sancho's first answer, you realise how important these events are to players.
Completely. And seeing how mischievous Jadon Sancho was as well after his interview with me, what you didn't see is that he crept up on Marco Reus in another interview and squirted him with water, which was quite funny as well. But yes, to your original point, it is very important for Borussia Dortmund, particularly because they've come under a lot of pressure this season for not hitting expectations. And rightfully so, because a lot has been invested in this squad, over 200 million, in fact. And Jadon Sancho is one of the successes of that, actually. He's only cost 7 million, but he is a 9 out of 10 player, as we were saying the other night on ESPN FC. Him and Erling Haaland are a cut above anything that RB Leipzig have. And we saw that with how ruthless Dortmund were in the first half.
Yeah, they really were. Jadon Sancho, of course, talking us through that first goal. Then we got to talk about that second one. Of course, Erling Haaland's first. Upamecano, man.
He ended him, I think, is the way that people on the internet put it, isn't it? Deo Upamecano was not in good form coming into this game, and it was one of the risks that Julian Nagelsmann took. He left Willy Orban, who has been in better form this season, on the bench. He put Hee Chang-hwan and Alexander Sorloth up top. Didn't work out. He hooked them both at half-time. And Upamecano is going to Bayern this summer with Julian Nagelsmann. He is rated as one of the best centre-backs in the world. But against Liverpool, I didn't think he looked like that in that first leg. In big games now for RB Leipzig, he hasn't been there, particularly against Dortmund in both of these games. So not a great moment for him. And he has some stuff to work on ahead of that move to Bayern. But Erling Haaland just came down behind me here on the pitch, and just the way that he did that Cristiano Ronaldo-esque celebration, but he somehow made it his own with this Norwegian roar that he let out. That was quite something to see. A bit of a power play, and fair enough, because once again, he's come to Berlin, where he scored four goals earlier this season against Hertha Berlin. He scored another two this time, except I think that unlike last time, when Lucien Favre couldn't remember how many goals he'd scored, I think Edin Terzic will remember.
Obviously, this defeat doesn't define Nagelsmann off to Bayern Munich, but it is interesting, isn't it, that it's another big game against big opponents where Leipzig come up short?
Nine games, Dan, for RB Leipzig, Julian Nagelsmann has had against Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund. He's not won any of them. That is not the kind of record you want, especially if Bayern Munich are taking you next season. Mm. I think that he's overthinking his plans a bit. He has all the tools at his possession to win these games. But I think that sometimes he can be maybe overambitious. He has so much confidence in his players and in his plans to pull them off that actually he maybe underestimates the power of some of his top opponents sometimes. He was raging after this, and understandably so, but he will learn. I'm confident of that much. Still, it's very much a setback.
Yeah, very much so. Of course, as you mentioned, for Borussia Dortmund now, attentions will turn to the Champions League and trying to book a place in the top four. Are you going to Mainz, Dortmund? Is that your next stop, Archie?
Freiburg against Bayern. Hopefully Robert Lewandowski's going to be fit,
yes,
or else
I'm
that's
going to
be an interesting trip. Dan, the record might be broken,
sure,
if Robert is fit.
We
will have to see. But then it'll be Mainz against Dortmund. Mainz, who, of course, stopped Eintracht Frankfurt last weekend in their quest for a Champions League place, allowing Dortmund to go ahead of them. And given that they beat Bayern the other week, they're not going to roll over for Borussia Dortmund. I really can't see that. So I think anybody who watched tonight's game should also be watching ESPN Plus at the weekend.
Indeed, a busy couple of days then coming up for Archie. As you mentioned, those games live on ESPN. Look, he's such a corporate man. So it is Freiburg against Bayern Munich at 9:30 Eastern on ESPN Plus. And then, what a Sunday. Mainz against Borussia Dortmund at 12, followed by Leipzig against Wolfsburg.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the Coupe de France, Monaco beat Valliere by 5-1. There was to be no upset. So they will meet PSG in the final, that final next week on May the 19th. Meanwhile, playoffs are all set for the championship and they are live on ESPN+. It starts on Monday, Bournemouth taking on Brentford. That's at 1, followed by Barnsley against Swansea City. Remember those games played over two legs. They're always fascinating, always surprises. Always incredible stories when it comes to the playoffs. Well, that is it. That brings us to the end of today's show on the day that it was announced that La Liga will be on ESPN for the next 8 years from the start of next season. Stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Shaka Hislop with us in the studio. Stevie Nicol as well, wearing his shiny dancing shirt. And Ian. Ian, what's with the tie today? Tie, no jacket. Well,
I've noticed that Shaka in the studio recently looks so very debonair that I thought I'd better try to dress up. I know you can't possibly match Shaka, but I'm giving it a go. It's my best shot.
Can something be done about players yelling and screaming, Shaka, when they've barely been touched?
No. Something like what? What are you supposed to do if a player screams out?
I don't know. Say, don't do that. That's enough. Enough of that.
Do what?
Stevie, were you a screamer?
No.
No. Was anyone
listen,
a screamer?
If the coaches can, the coaches can just walk up and say, hey, pack your screaming then.
Right.
There you go. Stop screaming.
But does it not
hit it enough times?
Does it not pay dividends, Stevie? Does it not influence the referee if somebody screams as if it's a real injury?
No. Well, you got everybody screaming, so it all cancels each other out. That's all you hear. You actually hear more screaming now than anything else.
Yeah, Ian, you must know.
Referees just go like that now. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You must notice on the commentary. Yeah, obviously no crowds.
Well, there is a serious element to this, and it's because it's an empty stadium. I think the players are definitely trying to scream louder in the hope that they get the free kick from the referee. When the stadiums were full, nobody could hear it anyway. So it's just another piece of gamesmanship we're getting at the moment. Soon the crowds will be back. Yeah. Soon we won't have to listen to this.
Is it a positive, though, Ian, being able to hear everything everybody is saying?
It's far outweighed by operating as a commentator in an empty, deserted stadium, what's basically a ghost town. So I can't wait for there to be spectators again. I mean, there are going to be 22,000 fans at the FA Cup final this weekend between Chelsea and Leicester, and that's going to be heaven.
Oh, that's brilliant. Ian, if Harry Kane leaves Spurs in the summer, do you think he would be a better fit for Manchester United or Manchester City?
Well, City are desperate to get sign a striker, and I know the people at the top at Manchester City want to make sure they give Pep Guardiola what he wants. But of course, City have been playing without a striker.
Yeah, why are they desperate? Why would you be desperate for a striker when you've won the league, got to the Champions League final without one?
Well, because they want that option as well, if they want to go with that route. I mean, if a player like Harry Kane becomes available, everybody's going to be interested in him. But who needs him more? Probably Manchester United. And they do need a big marquee signing, but are there going to be these huge signings this summer? All the clubs have been kind of crippled by the COVID crisis.
For Ian, I remember you predicted United to finish second in the league this season. No, I don't remember that. And you got laughed at by the panel.
I did.
Oh, I can't imagine us laughing.
Who did he have as first? Who did he have as first?
Yeah.
How would you feel if they secured second?
I don't take any pleasure at all in correct predictions because I get loads wrong, like everybody else on here, really. But it's all a bit of fun. Yeah, I just thought their early season form was probably a bit false and that they would recover. So I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has done a pretty good job there. But they do need to pick up that trophy at the end of the season.
Did you have City winning the league, Ian?
No, I had Liverpool. But there you go. Predictions make fools of us, Dan.
That didn't last long, did it? That smugness.
No.
That's typical.
That's typical
Chalmers.
What?
Typical Chalmers. Darkie, get something right, gets a bit of praise, and you've got to bring the hammer down. Well, and try and make him look daft.
Well, it seems like
typical Chalmers.
It continues here. Ian, what were you...
Well done, Darky. Oh, by the way, you got that way wrong, so you don't know what you're talking about, basically. That's what you're doing.
Anything, I
could be right.
I wouldn't speak to a man dressed like that in that manner, Stevie. It'll give me detention.
I think I'm going to take this tie off in a minute.
Oh, Ian!
Right.
Oh, come on now. Let's calm it down.
Take the tie off.
Oh,
look
at
that.
What a rebel.
Look at that.
Wow.
Goodness.
Keep going, Dad. Ian, what were you thinking a few months back when you said Arsenal would end up in the top four? Where do you think they'll finish next season?
Typical Thomas.
Typical Thomas.
Typical Thomas, Stevie.
Look. Hey.
This is a bit like the film just where knock where Jack a man Nicholson's down again. I refer you to my previous answer.
For Ian. Oh, God, there's a lot for you, Ian.
What is it? Ask Shaq or something.
Ian, you said Liverpool would... No. For Ian, what was your motivation to become a commentator? Was it a planned career move or happened on its own over the years?
No, it kind of happened on its own over the years. I mean, I used to work in the BBC Radio Sports Department, and somebody there said, "Oh, your voice might be okay for commentating." So, I did probably about 30 or 40 test commentaries until anybody thought they would let me loose on the air. So it took a long time. Didn't happen overnight, but I'm glad I did it.
Yeah. So are we, Ian. So are we. Very, very good. Despite what Shaka says.
What? Oh, God. Patronising is Thomas again.
It's like his backhanded compliment
so
night here.
Look at him.
I like Ian's commentary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Right, Stephen. Who is a worse defender at set pieces, Pogba or Ronaldo? And why do star players no longer enjoy doing the dirty work and give blood, sweat and tears for their teams?
I actually think Ronaldo's a better defender at set pieces than Pogba. I don't think he's very good on a wall, but I think if he has to mark somebody or he has to make a header, he'll do it. Pogba just gives me the impression he just doesn't want to be anywhere near any of that stuff. That's certainly what it looked like today and in previous games. So I would say Ronaldo's probably better off than Pogba.
Steve, is it a bit lazy to say that star players no longer enjoying the dirty work? Star players never enjoy doing the dirty work ever, did they?
There was always individuals that you wouldn't put in that position because you knew they either couldn't do it or didn't want to do it, really. But most people would give it their all. Pogba just seems... I'm going to say he doesn't know what he's doing, as opposed to not giving it his all. Because it just looks like he has no idea what he's doing. And that can happen with players. You know, players, you can get them on the training field and you can show them time after time after time what to do, you know, when to do it, what they should be thinking. But when it comes to a game, you know, now it's up to the individual. And if they just don't get it, then they don't get it.
Does Ian think that Southgate would take Trent to the Euros after watching him today?
I think he's got to. I think he was Liverpool's outstanding player tonight, and I think he has been in recent matches. I think the reason he left him out of the last squad was he's a bit worried about him as a defender, but I'm always of the view, really, that you should concentrate on what players can do, not what they can't do. He brings you so much to the table. Even if you're not going to start him in the games, he's got to be an option. So for me, he has to be in that 26-man squad.
Right, here we go, Shaq. Which Premier League manager would you most want to go and get a pint with?
Which Premier League manager I'd most want to go get a pint with?
Right.
Jurgen Klopp.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think he'd be the most fun. I think you could talk football and have fun with Jurgen Klopp more so than most managers.
Ian, you've probably been, I imagine, with a pint with some of these managers in the past.
In the past, yeah, for sure, because we used to always get invited in for a cup of tea before the game, after the game with managers, but now, of course, it's all become a little bit more corporate and distant, and they don't let media people in the tunnel area, etc. So that's harder to do than in the old days. But to answer the question, I think I'd go Sean Dyche, really. That would be interesting, and I get the feeling, not that I'm making any accusations because I don't know, but there might be quite a bit of alcohol consumed.
I think that'd be good. Big Sam would be fun as well because he'd be so bitter and angry at the world. Just get him drunk and let him rant.
Wait, how you put Big Sam there like that? Why?
Well, because of what happened in England, the Newcastle situation, what getting relegated.
So he's just going to be bitter and angry and drunk?
Well, this is a man who came out and said that, you know, he could be coaching Real Madrid and Bayern Munich, wasn't it?
I'm just saying, I'm just amazed at how you just...
I think it'd be good fun.
You just freely assume that Big Sam is going to be angry and drunk.
Oh, Ian, my producer wants me to ask who's older, you or Roy Hodgson? That's not very nice, is it?
It is Roy Hodgson, yeah, because we're all wondering whether Roy will actually still be the manager of Palace next year. There's a lot of talk about changes there in the summer, but, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, indeed. Stevie, who would you like to go with? I know you're not a big drinker, but who would you like to go for a drink with?
Yeah, you go with Sean Dyche.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. Who do you think would last a lot? Who do you think would cave first? Sean Dyche, me, or Pep?
Cave in what sense? What game are we playing?
the only way you can leave is if you're carried out.
Right. Why have you put Pep into that?
Because he'd last two minutes, wouldn't he?
He'd last about the same time as I normally do.
He'd last 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the problem with Pep...
Do you want another one? He's like, I've still got this one. We're like, what?
You couldn't turn... Pep would just talk about football all the time, wouldn't he? You wouldn't be able to put the ball down. I think with the others, I think it'd be much more interesting. Like Big Sam. Shaka, what was Tuchel's reasoning for starting Kepa over Mendy yesterday? Do goalkeepers really need to be rested? No.
They're the hardest workers on the field, Dan.
Really?
Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that.
Isn't it just that he's starting in the FA Cup, wanting to get him in a rhythm?
I would guess so.
Rhythm?
I think he starts in the FA Cup, so yeah, why not?
Ian, can we fairly compare Sir Alex Ferguson to Pep, considering how the game and players have changed?
Well, Sir Alex won the title, what was it, 13 times or something, so Pep's got a bit of catching up to do yet. It's a longevity question, but obviously... Pep Guardiola is a master tactician and coach and brain. It's hard to compare eras, isn't it? But obviously, Sir Alex is still number one, isn't he?
Final question, and it's to Steve Nicol. How does your wife react, Stevie, when you're watching Liverpool play?
She knows to keep out the rod.
Right.
Put it that way. She doesn't hang about.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all do. We all usually keep out the rod.
Yeah. There were times when we used to watch the games together, and then at halftime, Stevie would have to go off on his own to watch the second half.
It was best for everybody concerned.
Yes.
It was best for everybody if Steve...
He gets all worked up, wouldn't he, Shaka?
And angry.
Angry.
And so, like, if something happens and you laugh, he'll laugh. Like that.
And then our producer would start pointing out the laws of the game.
He would get all angry.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of anger involved. Ian, do you get most emotional watching Portsmouth?
Oh, very sad. I mean, they didn't make the playoffs and they didn't deserve to make the playoffs on Sunday. All they needed was a home win. They couldn't do it. So, I was quite emotional, but rather more depressed, I'd say.
Wow. Reminder of when Shaka used to play for them.
Oh, Shaka was great at Pompey.
Thank you very much. Yeah, those were good days.
He can tell you all about it in a drink with a Premier League manager.
Ah.
Maybe Harry Redknapp.
Oh, Harry would be good.
Yeah, Harry would be good.
Harry would be a good person.
Harry would be fine
with most definitely. Okay, I think that's it.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think we're done. Thank you very much, everybody. We will be back tomorrow for more. Looking ahead, of course, the FA Cup final between Chelsea and Leicester.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.